Please listen carefully.
Well, hello world and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of the news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists, who are also really cool people, and deliver them online to your inbox and through our social channels, like Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. I think that's it. Anyway, now, as you have probably figured out because you are listening to us, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, Happy Tuesday, Christy-worthy podcast. Today is, in fact, Tuesday, June 16th, 2020.
Summer's very impressed that you got all the days of the week in there in the right order.
I know. I feel like I probably have now become an award-winning journalist just by remembering all the days of the week. In our house, we have a teeny tiny person who is obviously learning words. And so my whole life is kind of this musical reiteration of flashcards and overpronunciation. I'm very pleased. As many of you know, Brennan's first words are in fact pup, pup, and cat. And she can't say cat without going cat with just utter joy. She's delighted by the creature, the cat. And we have these little flashcards. And today she was showing our dog her flashcards. It was pretty cute. So anyway, counting the days of the week, I think my mom brain is clearly coming out in my intro this morning. Sorry, everybody. I pretty much am in like a Mary Poppins world in my head right now.
Well, you were saying earlier that you really are starting to look forward to our work week because Monday through Friday is when you actually get these 6 or 8 hours of your morning where you're focused on work and adult things as opposed to having a babe on the hip, which is on the weekends, pretty much 24/7.
You know, I think every parent does this. And I will thank you, Christy, for reminding me that I am totally a normal parent for looking forward to time away from my little one, who I love with absolutely every ounce of my body. In fact, in my meditation today, it was imagine someone you love. And of course, it was this itty bitty little girl. But I also kind of like to talk to adults, even if it's through a computer screen. So it's nice. And, you know, my husband and I like never see each other. So we never see each other except for to exchange the baby, pretty much.
Typical married life with an infant.
Exactly. How are you doing, my love? Two questions. One, how is the cilantro? And two, did you do your high intensity training workout?
Okay. So I don't have very good news on either front, actually. Number one, we had a very, very hot week last week and I was really busy on Thursday and Friday, which meant I neglected to tend to my little garden and water it sufficiently. And all of my cilantro kind of evaporated, sadly.
Oh, no.
And the thing is, I actually had taken a picture, which I will send to you. Of all my nice little cilantro plants, I was able to save one little plant, kind of, and I don't know how it's going to go. My kale, however, is doing fine, and I was able to resuscitate the kale. And so I've got now kale and maybe one cilantro plant still in that little plot. And my other kale plot is doing gangbusters, and those little sprouts are doing great. So sad news on the cilantro, not being very successful there.
Sorry to pick up a sore subject. I didn't actually know the cilantro.
That's how it goes, right? It's the trials and tribulations of a home gardener in a shady backyard. But in terms of my HIIT workouts, I did put them on my Amazon watch list. I got that far, but I didn't actually do one yet. And my goal is to do one today. How's that?
I also did not do one, but we'll just be accountability sisters here. And by tomorrow, let's make a goal that we will be reporting back to each other, Amelia, and all of you fabulous listeners that we are going to get one done.
I did do yoga. I did my yoga today.
One more thing quickly before we get into it. I just want to say congratulations to the team because last week we were celebrating that 21,000 new people came. And this week we get to celebrate that 29,000 new people came. Yes. 21,000 last week, 29,000 this week. Well done. Bravo. Hooray.
Virtual high five to you, Summers, and the whole team.
Yes.
But enough about us, Summers. What's your lead story for today?
So my top story today, the headline reads, Landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling protects LGBTQ plus workers in the policymaking section of the Optimist Daily. So it was pretty exciting. Yesterday, the Supreme Court upheld a declaration with a landmark ruling that employers cannot discriminate against employees based on sexual orientation or transgender status. This story is obviously flooding the socials. People are really, really excited that the Supreme Court has, in fact, made this ruling. Shockingly enough, over 29 states actually have rules in place that allow for discrimination against people based on sexual orientation or transgender status. And that's done. Days are done, people. There's a lot in the world right now that is very stressful, and a lot of people are under a tremendous amount of pressure. And we forget that there are communities who continue to struggle. You know, they had struggles that preceded the COVID and the most recent racial protests. And that is our LGBTQ plus community. I am just really, really happy that this went through. I have family members who are transgender that I am a fervent supporter of, and many, many conversations about how times are changing. So the majority opinion was written by Justice Neil Gorsuch. You can go ahead and take a look at the extract from the opinion written on the Optimist Daily. But I am just really, really excited about this one. This is a day that something went right.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting in the context of the Trump administration just rolled back some protections for transgender and LGBTQ people in terms of their health status. So in the context of that step back, the fact that the Supreme Court is upholding this interpretation of the Civil Rights Act is really a landmark ruling, and it is a big deal. Now we have equality in marriage. There's now equality that can be enforced in relation to employment. I think healthcare needs to come. Housing needs to come. There's other things in terms of really creating a society which is based on equality and protection for this vulnerable population. I'm excited about that, and we just need to extend it. I think this is a great story. I like that this is the headline from the Optimist Daily. It's a headline all over the internet and the news, and justifiably so.
This is the first time that transgender rights have been acknowledged and upheld by the Supreme Court. There have been marriage equality rulings, but transgender specifically noted is a conversation has been started. And as a ally of transgender communities, I know how much just being noted in this way furthers the experience and furthers the opportunity to be acknowledged and be understood. I think there was another headline that came out yesterday, something I think somebody mentioned on our team, that SpongeBob came out as LGBTQ+.
He's an asexual sea sponge.
So, yeah, you know, it's just that it gives a vocabulary and a voice to these conversations, that there are communities that are at risk and struggle. And the transgender suicide rate is so incredibly high. Teenagers who are transgender really, really are at risk. And I am just incredibly grateful that at the highest court in our land, they have been acknowledged and determined that they cannot be discriminated against. So it is a step, as you said, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's an acknowledgement of humanity. And as a matter of fact, I think Black transgender women are the most vulnerable subset of our population in terms of murder and crime and the lack of protection. So this is it's an important ruling. It's not forcing anybody to do anything they don't want to do, but it's just giving people a protection as an equal member of our society under the law. And that's essential. That's how our society functions.
Absolutely. All right, my love, what was your top story from the Optimist Daily today?
My top story today, the headline is Infrastructure Changes to Sustain Falling Emissions Past the Pandemic. And this is from the energy section on the Optimist Daily. And this is really important for us to think about at this moment, because as we've had to take a step back from how things were developing in our world, the business as usual, we've been trying to bring emissions down, trying to curb the carbon emissions to mitigate against some of the worst effects of climate change, which are already kind of baked in. But the better we can do, the better outcome we will eventually have. And we've made some strides in the last few months in terms of lowering emissions in our cities because of the shutdown. But just because we were having this pause, this sort of the great pause was going on there, now that we're starting to open things back up, why not take this reduced emission profile and bring that into the new world and emphasize the positives of that and continue to keep our emissions down in our cities? It's great for air quality. It's great for health of our lungs. And it's also really important for the environment, heat in cities. In most cities, transportation is the first or second largest source of greenhouse gas emissions, and also the biggest reason that there are air pollution. So electrifying that sector of our cities would be a really important step forward in terms of lowering emission, because zero emission electric vehicles at the fleet level is actually a really important and good investment. Yes, it would be a costly investment on the upfront, but over the lifetime of those vehicles, they're estimating that there's fuel savings of up to 80%. And also there's hundreds of thousands of savings for each vehicle in reduced maintenance costs.
Right there. Yeah. That just reiterates what we talk about all the time on the Optimist Daily, is that these positive solutions that actually heal the world have an economic positive impact. You know, the reduced cost to operate this fleet will actually have a net positive benefit and allow us to invest in other community services.
And that doesn't even count the reduced cost in health spending that is required when you have the dirty air and, you know, you've got asthma issues, you've got breathing issues, you've got just quality of life issues for people living in these congested urban areas where there's tons and tons of emission. It's easiest to do with the fleet vehicles, because then you can change your whole maintenance structure. You can change the fueling structure. You can set up places to keep them charged in the right way. And, you know, you could use hydrogen fuel cell vehicles also, which is another option that they're doing in many cities in terms of transportation. That's another option. So I just think this is exciting. And I wanted to highlight this story because I think looking at our transportation system is one of those key lines of development that we need to think about for moving into a post-fossil fuel future, the direction we need to go if we want to continue to have the civilization that we have.
You're going to start hearing some quick background noise in my family because we ran a little bit over today and the baby is back with daddy. So let's just bust through the last bits of these headlines. Sorry for the dog bark. I'm really excited about that story. Hi, Brennan. She's waving to everyone. Online choirs thrive amid lockdowns as uplifting community connections. Part of reform, San Francisco police won't respond to non-criminal calls. There's a list of sustainable Father's Day gift ideas. Oh, Christy, this one's the one you wanted to talk about.
My other headline that I almost chose was about how algae could make your local brewery carbon neutral. And I love the idea of having algae beer in the fermentation process. It reduces the emissions there, kind of like feeding cows. Seaweed can help with their emissions. So this is a good one.
I love it. And we always love a good beer story. Definitely. Increases in voter turnout in Georgia for the primary. Battery supplier claiming a new design for a vehicle for, wow, this one says it can power a vehicle for 1.2 million miles. And that and a lot more. There's a great story about CVS now working with DoorDash for deliveries to continue to help people stay at home and stay safe.
There's also a story about giving cash to poor families in Indonesia, which really makes a difference in reducing deforestation. So those are our top stories on today's solutions. I hope everybody does go into the Optimist Daily, take a read of all of those really interesting, good stories.
I think that is a good plan. Hey, Christy, you know, the story that went viral for us last week was the one about our good old matriarch Granny Bear in Yellowstone. And I'd like to think it's because you and I talked about it on the Optimist Daily Update. I want to thank everyone for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. For just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest problems with a problem-solving mindset. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Summers. Thank you, Amelia. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.